This is the Boxing Betting Show with Tom Craze.
Hello and welcome to Season 3, Episode 17 of the Boxing Betting Show. My name is Tom Craze. Now, I thought I was being nice and organised this week with my research done, my notes compiled, guests persuaded and an interview recorded, all before midweek. Such is the unpredictable nature, though, of putting on boxing shows during a pandemic, that disaster struck on Thursday morning when Conor Benn, this weekend's star attraction, tested positive for COVID, putting pay to the idea of a main event fight with Adrian Granados. That matchup is still, as it stands right now, in the process of being rescheduled, and if and when it does eventually happen, I'll at least have some pre-recorded material to dig out from the vaults for you. But it's meant a bit of a scramble today, piecing together the rest of the show and kind of surgically editing out the many references to it in the interview you're about to hear. That fight, of course, was the main focus. There's still, I think, plenty of good stuff left over. But in addition to enjoying the insight from my two excellent guests, see if you can spot the many expert joins that I've tried to smooth over. Introducing first a guy who we last spoke to on the podcast just over 2 years ago. I was just looking back on the dates, literally 2 years ago last week. Pleased to say my friend Chris Walker of DAZN Boxing back on the Boxing Betting Show. How are you, Chris?
Yeah, not too bad. Thanks for having me, Tom. It's good to be back. I didn't know it was that long.
And the second guest on the Boxing Betting Show this week to complete the three-man panel, Ozzie Smith from the always entertaining Boxing Asylum. How are you, Oz?
Very good, mate. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm quite looking forward to this. It's going to be, should be a decent chat. Two of the brightest and best boxing betting minds I know, of a few, but you guys are up there. Obviously, Chris and Oz, we're going to start or focus this week on the Matchroom Fight Camp edition one of season two from the Brentwood Manor, as it were. And we will go to fight down at featherweight, which is a bit of a weird matchup. Zhu Kan against Lee Wood, which isn't a fight I would imagine that Lee Wood kind of probably ever saw himself being in a few months ago. Obviously, Josh Warrington's loss to Mauricio Lara kind of upset the apple cart there a little bit. Zhu is, most people would agree, a kind of a world-class fighter, very, very high output. And a fight with Warrington, you would think, would be still on, is still very much the plan should Warrington kind of triumph in the rematch. Lee Wood, obviously, we know what he's about at a certain level. Came off a good stoppage win against Rhys Mould, pipped by Jazz Dickens in the past, fought Ryan Doyle, stopped him in 10 as well. Ozzy, we'll go to you first on this one. Do you think Lee Wood is completely out of his depth here, or do you think there's a chance for a bit of an upset?
Look, it's boxing. Anything can happen, but I would say he's completely out of his depth going into this. He was repeatedly hurt off Jazz Dickens, and Jazz Dickens, you know, isn't a no-puncher. He dominated Rhys Mould at times, but Rhys Mould did hurt him as well after being dropped. And look, prior to that, you know, I mean, he beat David Oliver Joyce, which in reality is nothing to jump around about. He's proven that, you know, he's not the amateur he was, you know, turning over as a pro. And look, Kanzu, you know, holds a version of the world title, so let's not get carried away. But he has defended it, you know, he's been in with, you know, steady opponents and simply better opponents than Lee Wood. I would say this is more of a short notice fight. I know Zhu's not the biggest puncher, but that work rate is there. And I see Zhu, personally, I think he can stop him and get him out of there. Let's have it right, if we do break it down, this is a world-level fighter against a British-level fighter. You know, you could argue Wood may be potentially some fringe European level contenders, but let's be honest, if we're going to break it down, who's the better fighter, Lee Wood, Kanzu, who's operated at a better level, Kanzu as well, all roads point to, you know, a victory for Zhu, and I think he'll do it in pretty fine fashion as well.
Chris, there's always a fight in the build-up to a big fight week that I kind of get a lot of DMs about, and that there's always one that kind of people pick up on in terms of the underdog as being the most live, and their name just gets repeated followed by a question mark. This week it's been Lee Wood. What do you think of Lee Wood, Tom? Lee Wood an outside chance here, Lee Wood a good price? Would you kind of concur with Ozzy there, or is this one that is kind of there for Zoo to look good on a big stage?
Yeah, I think it's a big ask from Lee Wood to do. I think some of the points that Ozzy said on board, he was hurt twice against Jazza Dickens. You wouldn't have even complained if he was stopped against Jazza Dickens. He was all over the place the ninth round, going from like corner to corner, just getting punched everywhere. So that is concerning when you look at his chances when he's in with a world-class volume puncher like Kanzu. But one thing he has got going for him, Lee Wood, is power. He hasn't shown it enough in his fights, but you speak to guys who he spars with, you speak to people like Dave Caldwell, who manages him, took him in the gym, you speak with Ben Davison, they all say he's a massive puncher. Whether it's enough to get Kanzu's respect is another issue. But I think when you're giving fighters just a puncher's chance, you're not really giving them much of a chance at all. So I am sorry to say, I wouldn't even like Lee Wood to prove me wrong, because I think he's an absolute gentleman. He's always an entertaining fight, but I think this is just a step too far for him. I agree with pretty much everything Ozzy said.
And in terms of the price on Zoo, general price is about 1 to 4, 4 to 1 on, about 80% implied. 2 to 7 is the very best price you'll find, and that is Hill's going 2 to 7. So -350, that may not be there by Saturday night. Is that about right? Do you think 80% on Zoo, or do you think that's a little bit, a little bit too generous, or do you think it's a little bit too short to get involved?
I think the thing with Zoo is, like, he's still a little bit of an unknown fighter. He's known to us, obviously, we follow the sport on a regular basis. But you do find with bookmakers sometimes just take a little bit look at the record, probably ask around, and if there's not much out there on him, they'll probably try and just see what bookmaker does, what price first, and goes along with that. I think them prices are probably right. Like I said, it's a short notice fight. Lee Wood's got a puncher's chance. He's fighting at home. I just think they're the right prices. I expect Kanzu to get the job done, but I think Lee Wood might have one or two moments in the fight.
The kind of perception you get of Zoo is that he's a guy who throws a million shots, which is true, but also that, you know, I kind of look at this fight and think, yeah, he might get Wood out of there late. Zoo is a guy who's only stopped three guys from his 18 wins. The stoppage is out at 13-8. Decision is favoured at 6-5. Do you think there's a chance that he adds to those three stoppages? Over 12 rounds here, don't forget. So he has got a bit of time to get it done. And do you think Wood is kind of good enough to hang in there?
Look, we talk about world-class punching sometimes, and immediately you think, you know, you allude to, you know, one-punch power. But Chris made a good point. You know, he's a world-class puncher who throws in volumes. Yeah. And I think that's where he'll overwhelm Wood in terms of, you know, will he be able to cope with that pressure? I'm not saying, you know, he'll be knocked out cold, but it could just be a simple case if he gets him up on the ropes and Zoo just unloads on him. You take, you know, 8-9 unanswered shots. I refer, you know, to the Joyce Takam stoppage at the weekend. Some argued that it shouldn't have been stopped, but what happened? He took, you know, 15, 16 unanswered punches. Zoo throws in big bundles and quick. So absolutely, I do. I mean, like we said, we're giving him a puncher's chance at best. This guy, you know, throws, you know, a huge amount of punches and quick. Interesting, he did get one of his stoppages, you know, probably, I think it's in his last five fights, he's had two of the stoppages. So I certainly think he can get him out of there. It's something that I'd be confident in backing at 13-8. Absolutely. It's a better price than, you know, will the fight go the distance, because I don't give Wood a chance at all. So, yeah, I think, you know, Zoo can get him out of there. I think, you know, Wood will be cautious early on. Don't think it'll be early. But I think, you know, towards the latter end of the fight, I just think the intensity of Zoo will be too much for Wood. And I think he'll, you know, he'll get him out of there. And I think realistically, he's been brought over, looked good, and then all roads will point to Warrington, should Warrington go and beat Lara.
Chris, the Ben Davison factor is another one that people have kind of pointed at for Lee Wood. Obviously, you know, winning gym is momentum. It's kind of a confidence factor. That price on Kanzu, about 38% at 13-8 for him to stop Lee Wood. Are you with Ozzy on that, or do you fancy Lewa to kind of at least see out the distance?
Yeah, I think the longer the fight goes on, I think that's when it'll become uncomfortable for Wood. He's got a habit of unraveling as well. Like I said, I don't want to go back to the Gavin McDonald fight because it was a long time ago, but things like that stay with you. And Gavin McDonald's not a massive puncher. He's a volume puncher, similar to Kanzu. Jazza outworked him, pretty much run him down. And he, even against like Ryan Doyle, and not Ryan Doyle, sorry, David Oliver-Joyce, he lost his way in that fight for a stage in the middle rounds before he got it back. I think in regards to Davidson, one thing I'd look out for in this fight is a corner stoppage. I maybe think something along the lines of like, listen, we've got this shot. It's unlikely we're going to win. We'll just see how it goes. And if it does become hard, we'll just save him for another day. You see that with some, like you've seen it with Kell Brook when he fought Golovkin. I think something along them lines, it wouldn't surprise me if that happened, because I think he is going to get overwhelmed pretty much from the first belt he would. And if he hasn't got it in him to go the 12 rounds, it's going to be a hard night, and he might need his corner to rescue him at some point.
You're listening to The Boxing Betting Show.
Okay, we will move on to probably the strangest fight on paper. Avni Yildirim, formerly of the World Boxing Super Series, and last time out fought the pound-for-pound number one at a sellout stadium in Florida, goes straight to the rather ornate matchroom back garden in Brentwood, Essex, to fight Jack Cullen, Little Lever's meat cleaver, in a kind of unexpected 10-rounder. The movement in the market in this has been quite interesting. Yildirim opened at what a lot of people thought was a very big price, about 5-2, so plus 250, 9-4-ish as well, quickly backed in. And there's been a bit of movement since, sort of stabilised, but and kind of gone back and forth a bit, really. But Cullen is still the favourite, depending on where you look, generally about 1-2, 2-1 on 8-15, 4-7. About 66-ish percent. Yildirim stabilized about 13-8, 6-4, the draw out at 20-1. There are kind of two camps here. One is that Cullen will just box in, that Yildirim isn't there for anything more than maybe a payday at this point in his career. There are others saying that Yildirim is its levels. Yildirim is a guy who's proven. Cullen's form line has been all over the place since we first saw him against John Harding Jr. Won that fight, but then stopped by Felix Cash. Won a sort of eight-round get well. Drew, fortunately, to Zach Chelly, and then beat John Doherty in a bit of an upset last time out. We'll go to you, Chris. I know you had some kind of views on this, and particularly the underdog here. Firstly, do you think that initial price was too big, and were you kind of involved at that and kind of involved in moving that, or where do you sit on the prices as they stand now?
Yeah, I don't think Yildirim should be the underdog against Jack Cullen. I think the problem you've got, even though Yildirim's competed at the higher level by an absolute distance, he's never really covered himself with glory. Splattered by Chris Eubank, he was splattered by Canelo. I thought he'd done okay against Danny Durrell. But I just think the level he's operated at means, obviously, he must have got there. And that's something that Cullen's not done yet. It's a fight that I probably won't go near, if I'm being honest. You've just mentioned the inconsistency of Cullen then. He's a fighter I've had no success with. He's a fighter who's left me frustrated on many occasions as well when it comes to betting. Most notably the Zach Chelly fight at the first fight camp. That left a bad taste, that result. But if I was looking for a bet in the fight, I'd probably go with Yildirim on points, which I've seen at 9-2. The talk from his camp is that he fancies it. He's got Pedro Diaz in his corner for this fight. He's made changes, which means that he probably is still taking it serious. So just based on nothing but competing at a higher level, probably being a bit more confident, probably looking down his nose a little bit at Cullen, I think Gildrum can just squeeze past Corn and get this done.
Have you spoken to his team at all, Chris? Do you have any insight on the camp there?
No, not this week. I put some stats and research together for Match Room and I had some good luck at some interviews that he'd done. A press release come out from Match Room this week as well, where he spoke about his ambitions to compete at 160 and get back to the world title level. So I think there's still some ambition there. I think Jack Horn will give him a hard fight, but I think you've got to go with Yildirim in this one.
The wins on Yildirim's record, probably the most recognisable, you've got Peraban, you've got Ryan Ford, both guys who've been in against Buatsi. The Yildirim decision there, Oz, that Chris mentioned, 18% chance on Yildirim getting a points nod after 10. But the odds on the outright make this about 60-40 in Cullen's favour. Do you agree with Chris on that? Is he being kind of really underrated here, sort of written off?
It's a difficult fight to predict because of Cullen's uncertainty. I'm also a massive fan of Michael Jennings as a trainer, yeah. And that's who looks after Jack Cullen. I don't really like backing against his fighters, purely the fact because I think he improves fighters as well. That saying, there's only so much a trainer can do, and Yildirim, you would like to think, should have more than enough to oversee Jack Cullen, who every time he's been beaten has been stopped and can be hurt, and sometimes he's his most dangerous when he is hurt because he just goes into a bit of a like a firefighter mode, just gung-ho throwing shots. Again, Yildirim has not been inactive. I mean, he boxed Canelo, if you want to call it that. It was just, you know, a complete just mismatch.
He was inactive in that fight, didn't throw a punch, did he?
Exactly. But it's interesting, he's changed his corner. He's coming to win. And look, he probably knows, if anything, his career is somewhat at risk here. A loss to Jack Cullen, who is a domestic level operator, where does that leave him? Nowhere, really. I mean, a win doesn't do much for him either, but it's a win, isn't it? Might get people talking about him. But a defeat, and it's curtains, in my opinion, absolute curtains. That saying, could I back anything confidently with the bookies? No. I think just an outright win on Yildirim would be a favoured bet, if anything. You just don't know how. I mean, he's got 12 KOs, but how legit is that power? What is it? You just don't know, do you? I mean, you know, he's gone the distance with anybody remotely notable. Apart from like Schiller Hippolyte back in 2016, I think we saw Callum Johnson destroying a round as well. So, but yeah, the likes of, you know, Peraban, he went the distance with, Ryan Ford, Lalenga Mock, who was like, God, when he boxed in Mark 45. So again, it's not one you can confidently back for me. Interesting fight, really interesting. You know it's a good one when you can't really confidently pick anything. And that's not because, you know, will, you know, like with Zoo, for example, will he get him out of there or will he not? There's just a lot of variables as to, you know, Cullen, massive opportunity for him, Yildirim, potential career at risk. But yeah, if I had to put my, you know, my neck on the line, it would be just a straight up, have me Yildirim win. But I don't say that with any confidence.
We'll jump over to the fight that I think I'm most looking forward to on the card. European Commonwealth British titles at cruiserweight. Chris Billings-Smith and Tommy McCarthy both have put together a few good wins, and it's kind of nice to see this getting made to clear up some arguments. Billings-Smith is the favourite at 1-3 general price, so -300. 2-7, -350 there as well. Tommy McCarthy out at 5-2, a little bit of 2-10, 21-10, 12-5, 9-4 around as well. The best price there, 5-2, is with Bet365. I've got quite a fancy here, and it's on one guy, and I'm going to ask both of you now to hopefully validate my opinion on that. We'll jump over to you, Chris. How do you see this one?
I think Billings-Smith will win. I think he's a fighter heading in the right direction.
Yeah.
I think he's improving massively under Shane McGuigan. And I think we've seen too many flaws in McCarthy to fully back him. I know he's on a decent run now. against probably what you'd call average European opposition. But you can go back to his fight with Matty Askin, and he was cracks there. His fight with Richard Rapoport, he was cracks there as well. And I think Billen Smith is just a fighter who's getting better all the time. He's not relying on his power as much. He's boxing his way into fights. He's taking his time. And I think McCarthy's there to be hit as well. The target's often exposed. So I think Billen Smith will get the job done in the second half of the fight. I'm fairly confident on it as well.
Billen Smith looked really, really good, I thought, against against Craig Glover. And then against Nathan Fawley, obviously it was a little bit, Fawley was a little bit overmatched, but I thought the way that Billen Smith took him apart and stopped him early was quite impressive. That was back on the last fight camp. The price there, 75% on the 1-3, obviously 5-2, you're putting McCarthy about 20, 28, 29%. We spoke earlier about another guy with that kind of price in Zoukan, again, 2-7. If you're looking at favourites on the card about that sort of price, of the two, who would you pick there if you were backing one of those short prices, Chris? Who would you feel more confident in?
Zoukan.
Okay.
I just think that extra world level experience against the domestic opponents and just gives him that extra edge. Saying that, I think what 1-3 in a like I said, we follow the odds massively every single show. We can't wait for them to come out. We've had conversations about prices this week and seeing if anyone's seen anything. But 1-3 in a boxing match, they're not big odds. You get them in a football match, you're probably looking at someone like Liverpool against, say, West Ham or something like that, which is like seen as like a big side against a middle side. But in boxing, you can get 50-50 fights where a favourite's 1-3. But I think looking at the world level, Kan Zhu against the domestic level, Lee Wood, 1-3 is a very, very good price for Kan Zhu. It's probably more evenly matched between McCarthy and Chris Billen Smith because of where they are in their careers and the titles they've won and some of the opponents they've beat. But I just think in regards to them two fights, I just think Kan's used extra experience at the highest level. That's got to make him a better price than Chris Billen Smith, even though I fancy both to get the job done.
Ozzy, that price on Tommy McCarthy, that 5-2, puts him at 29% underdog. Do you make it a closer fight than that kind of 75-25-ish split?
No. I know, yeah, McCarthy's on a bit of a slip at the moment, but I've really not been impressed with him in any of his wins. I mean, that Fabio Turchi out in Italy wasn't great, was he? And then he laboured to a win against that Bilal Lagoon as well. And even his most recent defence against the Alexander Zhur, you know, it was six rounds, but it was a cumbersome performance. It wasn't impressive. And, you know, if you're a real, you know, something about you, you should have been going out there blasting that Zhur around a couple of rounds. Whereas with Billen Smith, I think his most recent fight will stand him in good stead for prep against that Vasil Dukar. Relatively unknown, but was decent, big, strong, could punch. Look, Billen Smith won fairly comfortably, but he didn't have it all his own way. Bullied, he was ragged around, and he looked, you know, he went for, you know, he had some adverse times, but battled through it. So I like Shane McGuigan as a coach as well. I think he's very, very good. Improves fighters. Billen Smith's had excellent prep. I think he'll get McCarthy out of there because I think McCarthy is that. He can be, you know, decent boxer, but we always hear it all the time. He leaves it in the gym too much and he'll box like he spars sometimes. So I think Billen Smith will get McCarthy out of there. Fairly confident on that as well. Like Billen Smith. But he had a bit of a rough ride against Ray Akpor, to be honest, as well. I don't think that, you know, I think I had him winning the fight against Ray Akpor. He could easily be undefeated. I mean, Craig Glover turned out to be nothing more than, you know, realistically an area level fighter, really struggled. But what he's done, he's won him emphatically. McCarthy's not. I think it will take a career best performance. from Tommy McCarthy to beat Billum Smith. And if he does, fair play. I just don't see that. I think Billum Smith's work rate will get to McCarthy towards the latter end of the fight, and I think he'll get him out of there.
The 4-5, Billum Smith 10 KOs from his 12 wins, 4-5 Aussie, 56%, it's -125. I think that's a fair price.
Look, when he's priced at 1-3 to win outright, you know, the majority of his wins are by knockout, I would say yes. Would you take it at just under even money? Absolutely. I think if McCarthy's going to win the fight, it would be by decision. I don't see him stopping Billum Smith. I'm just trying to find out any round betting as well, because I do think it's quite high. It is under or over 9.5.
9.5, yeah.
It's difficult then. You know, you can't confidently advise somebody not to back that, because round eight, you could get to him and it's game over. And at the moment, I can't see any other prices on that. So by KO, TKO, yes. And look, even if, you know, people are a fan of accumulators, you know, small doubles, putting somebody at 1-3, you know, if you can double it up with something else, it's not the worst thing to back. It's not mainly betting, you know, putting big money on a 1-3 shot, but just an outright winning, you know, if you're trying to build a bet, it's not the worst, to say the least.
Chris, I know this is one that you've looked at and might have a bit of a fancy for. Going back on what we said there, with odds, you've got the under 9.5 at 4-5, and that's with both BetVictor, Bet365, the same price as the Billum Smith stoppage. So both 56%, both -125. Of the two, is it the Billum Smith stoppage there that you fancy more?
Just to get the extra rounds, I'd take the stoppage. It's probably my bet of the day. I'm pretty convinced that Billum Smith gets a stoppage. I suppose you've got to admire McCarthy for getting to the level that he has, because I don't think he's really looked impressive on his journey to get to the position he is. And I think, like, Billum Smith, the rise he's done, he looks like he's improving every single fight. He's got the right coach in his corner. I think it's definitely going to be a stoppage for Chris Billum Smith. That's my big bet for the weekend, I think. Chris Billum Smith to stop Tommy McCarthy.
And of the two then, Chris, if someone's looking for, that's just inside even money, if someone's looking for an odds against shot, you've got the round group betting, Billum Smith 1-6, rounds 1-6, 12-5, and the same price with William Hill for the 7-12, with them priced both the same. Do you have a lean there?
I think the first half of the fight, I think, was it round 4 or 5 he was down against Matty Aston? I think it was round 4. And then I think against Richard Rajapour, he was stopped in the 4th round as well, but the target was hit by Rajapour earlier on as well. I think he caught him with a couple of good shots in round 3 that buzzed him. So I wouldn't put anyone off betting rounds 1-6. I think if Billum Smith can come out aggressive, which he usually does, I don't think he'll have any problems finding the target. I really think it's going to be a statement win from Chris Billum Smith on Saturday night.
Very nice. Chris, Aussie, a pleasure to have you back and great to chat to you both at the same time. I'm sure we'll reconvene in the group chat many times before the weekend is out. Good to talk to you guys.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me, Tom. Appreciate that.
Cheers. Nice one. Pleasure, gents.
A little heads up for anyone planning to follow along with the fights on Twitter this Saturday night, as I'll be running a little competition to add a bit of extra fun to proceedings on top of what could already be a pretty fun card. Please remember to gamble responsibly, of course, if you are having a bet, and enjoy your weekend. Thanks for listening.